Harris, the opposite of irrelevant. He's very relevant. He joins us now on the Revolution Hotline. Jim, sorry about that. Bill Vickery called in on your hotline unannounced, and I apologize on behalf of Bill.
You won't mind if I call in unannounced a few dozen times tomorrow, I guess. Or
no, I'm sure he would love to have you call in unannounced or announced for that matter tomorrow. He's going to be on the road. It'll be an interesting show. I will not be working, but I will be listening because it's going to be one for the ages, I think.
Oh, well, maybe I should skip it. What's going on?
Well, lots of stuff. We were just kind of talking about Tiger Woods a moment there, and we'll get back to some Razorback-related stuff in a second. But Tiger Woods wins his eighth time at Bay Hill, a top-10 finish for Ken Duke all around. I think, pretty good day. I would have liked to have seen Ken finish a little higher. He did get up to second on the final day, which I'm sure he would have liked to have stayed there.
Yeah, I'm sure Ricky Fowler would have, too.
Yeah.
It's hard chasing Tiger when he's back to focus and his life is good. I guess he's going to be I think he's going to have a huge year. I think he's this has happened in the past. Nicholas didn't dominate every season. I mean, he had a few years that some people would say, well, he'd slump, and then he'd come back and have like a 1980 where he won two majors and, could have won a third, like came real close to the Grand Slam that year. So, Tiger is back and happy and looking strong, and everybody sort of plays like they're looking up at him, it seems like to me.
With him having been through the worst stuff in his life, I'm assuming he will never get that low again, and him dating a skier, I'm still waiting for the "it's all downhill from here" line to come up. It hasn't happened yet, luckily, because the only person that takes advantage of puns like that is Big Baby. So, anyway, somebody actually asked him about that yesterday. It's like, do you think there's a correlation between you announcing on Facebook your new status and, you winning? And he's like, I think you're reading way too much into that.
Well, he won before that.
Yeah, there's that. So, but maybe he was dating her then, too. I don't know.
He's won on, three courses this year that he loves. He's got great records at Torrey Pines. Obviously, 8 wins at Bay Hill says everything. But he also loves Augusta, I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I certainly expect him to be, in the mix there. I think he'll be probably a prohibitive favorite coming in, knowing how the gambling money goes.
Yeah, and again, I think most people would agree it's good for golf, seeing him do well. Plus, if you're a TV crew, you got an extra day out of him, so that worked out well for him. I don't know if anybody was tuned into the golf channel yesterday to watch him make the rounds yesterday and win another title, but it was we were tuned in.
Yeah, now, would he have not been in the Tavistock Cup or whatever it is? He not living there anymore? Does it matter?
Yeah.
That was going on yesterday, too.
Yeah, I guess I saw some of that afterwards. I wasn't really sure what the event was, but I saw
Tavistock,
him playing.
Tavistock, I guess.
Okay.
Tavistock Cup, is that right? So, the two golfing communities in that Orlando area each year battle out for a little Ryder Cup-like event. And, he was in it at one time when he was living there before he moved into his castle at Jupiter. Not on Jupiter, but in Jupiter.
No.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he would have played it or not. I didn't watch much of it.
No, because obviously he would have had to withdraw, and there were a lot of guys still in the running yesterday. And I guess there were guys like Bubba Watson that didn't play, Bay Hill. So.
Right. What did you make of the situation with Sergio? He climbs a tree to hit a shot out of a tree, and then if he climbed the tree, where else would he hit the shot out of? He climbs this tree to hit his shot, and then he withdraws because he has a sore shoulder and Achilles. But I'm thinking, you can climb a tree, but you can't keep playing golf? What am I missing here?
I don't think his life has gotten quite together like Tiger's.
He has got to find a hot skier to date.
He has not been the same since he was unceremoniously dumped by Greg Norman's daughter.
Oh, she dumped him?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Told him to hit the road.
Okay.
Hit the road, or whatever it is in Spanish.
Vaya con Dios?
Yeah, Viacom deals probably work, you know, and it was, he's not been the same. And I don't know if he's been the same since that disaster with, you know, in the British Open either, but all that feeling sorry for himself and, you know, his balls hit the pins and not go off the. Remember that
yes.
day when it was the pity party for Sergio?
Right.
So as soon as he really gets away from that, mate, and it was good to see him climb the tree. I mean, that's kind of a little bit like the young Sergio again, you
it
know?
It was.
Like,
yeah, if he could have followed it up by choking out about four or five 6-footers, he would have been exactly like the old Sergio. So that's
a, nothing would help golf better than Tiger playing like he's doing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Get Rory going again, which I guess he is. He and his girl are winning and still together.
Well, see, he got fat and happy for a season, and
yeah,
now she's got him back getting in shape now. So I bet he comes back with a vengeance this year.
Yeah, because she was not necessarily fat and happy, but. She was happy,
yeah,
and kind of not winning, and get Sergio because you know Sergio's still the personality. Every time we've been to either Memphis where he's played or Dallas, I mean, people just go nuts to follow this guy.
Yeah, I still root for him. I don't know why, but I do. I still root for Sergio. I even like him, and I think he's never better than he is in the Ryder Cup. He's always best. If he could keep that kind of confidence and that kind of cool demeanor that he does in the Ryder Cup all the time, he'd be so much better off. But he seems to have a hard time keeping that going in the regular season.
Yeah.
Anyway, he may be the greatest Ryder Cup player of all time, though, for what that's worth. I don't know if that's what he's shooting for.
Yeah, he passes his idol, Seve.
Yeah.
I think Seve set the bar. And then, of course, Colin Montgomery, hate him or like him, he sure kind of jumped alongside that too,
Jim.
And we don't have good news when we play in the Ryder Cup. Yeah.
Speaking of golf, Saturday we had our green jacket giveaway. We did a special broadcast from the First Tee of Central Arkansas, a place you've been many, many times with your son.
Yeah.
And we had a winner. He was very happy. It was good. He gets to go to the Masters this year, which is cool. Hopefully, he'll get to see Tiger play well and or win, or maybe both. And
well, who won?
Ted Darragh was our winner. So congratulations to Ted. But I say all that, yeah, it was cool. So
yeah, good for him.
Yeah, that was fun. But we also talked about Razorback baseball. Matt Jones joined me on the broadcast, and I was thinking of you on Saturday. I don't know if you heard us talking. Obviously not, but we were talking about Spoon, who had a huge game in the opener against South Carolina. Finally, Arkansas's bats woke from their slumber, and they turned out a number of runs, and they win big, and then they end up sweeping the series against South Carolina after setting the tone in a big way on Friday night.
Oh, it was a great series sweep. Who would have seen that coming, even if South Carolina might be struggling? But they were the sixth-ranked team in the country. I mean, to go in there and sweep them with the pitchers pretty well pitching like Friday night starters. I saw that as the new coach at South Carolina made that comment before the series. They were going to be facing three Friday night starters, and I mean, to the listeners, that means aces each one, and they all kind of pitched well, including Randall Pfaff, who you know needed a little more maturity from last year, and he pitched well, and the hitting did do the job. Some of the suicides or the safety squeezes worked that helped win games. Some didn't, like on Sunday, and yet they followed it up with clutch hitting. So you saw clutch hitting, big hitting Friday night. Just an all around great bounce back, and probably the first weekend that this baseball team's looked like the team that was predicted to. Or at least was ranked number one to start the season. I don't know if they were predicted to win at all, but
right.
I mean, when you start the season ranked number one, I guess you're sort of
kind of in some
predicted
circles
to be the best team in the country.
Well, yeah, and it was good to see some of the young arms have done well. Poche is pitching today, this afternoon, 2:35 pregame, 3:05 startup in Fayetteville, and then they move to North Little Rock. I'm assuming Sporting Life Arkansas will be all over that game tomorrow in North Little Rock.
I hope that's the plan. As you know, I think we've got some other things to tend to tomorrow, but I hope to see that game in person myself, you know, as far as tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
certainly I think Arkansas fans will turn out no matter what the competition is. I think they're 3-18. Is that right?
Mississippi Valley State, yeah, they're not especially good, no.
No, they're not, and they're a SWAC team that's making the tour around.
How long until
like
somebody
Alabama A&M?
How long until somebody tries to legislate that they have to play an in-state team at the game in North Little Rock every year?
I'll tell you what, I don't know. I hope Mississippi Valley puts up a little more fight than Alabama A&M did when Arkansas, I think, outscored them about 30-0.
Yeah, hopefully there's not, what was it, 17 walks or some insane number that I've never heard before in a college baseball game?
Yeah, there was a little control problem.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, I'm sure they'll do well. And then
that's
they go
the kind of control problems you see down there at Junior Deputy, you know, in the 9-year-old.
Scott has never been in a game where there were 17 walks, I don't think. He's never been part of a team that issued 17 walks, has he?
No, we were close.
Okay. Well, it's understandable his age.
He didn't personally issue them all, but...
No.
I've seen some pretty interesting control problems. So on the college level, you just hope the guys can get it over there and, you know, let Arkansas kind of hammer it out. I think fans will have a great time seeing this. I hope Van Horn will use a lot of the regulars, at least some of the game, just so the local fans can see Tyler Spoon in person. I'm sure the regular hitters will get a look, of course, at least for an inning or two. And these kids are it's a team everybody could come to love, I think, before the year's over.
Yeah, well, if they keep winning, I'm sure people will. So, and no more games, no more five error games would be good too.
Well, they still got a little problem in the infield. I think they've got a shore up shortstop and you know, some problems there where they're still having some errors on routine plays.
Jim, two things quick, basketball related. Do you want to pick an upset out of the four games the eight games that remain in the Sweet 16? Here's your underdogs. I'll give you an underdog you can pick.
And well, why not? They're going with Florida Gulf Coast.
Because they're a 13-point dog. Are you picking them to beat Florida?
I'll tell you, it was amazing watching them. To see five guys out on the court all, you know, depend on each other and use each other and play with each other in such a way that made it beautiful. I think it's something college basketball's been missing.
Yeah, we have gone.
I think that's why the game stinks so bad.
Yeah.
And yet they did it. And I don't know how they were able to do it in such fashion. I mean, when you look back in their season in the Atlantic Sun, I mean, you start to wonder why Mercer, you know, might not have gotten an at-large bid since they were the regular season champion of that league, and also won a game at Alabama and beat somebody else good on the road like Florida State.
Well, they beat Tennessee in the NIT, so I give them credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, they must have had a decent team, but what Florida Gulf Coast is doing and how they're doing it in the second half,
yeah,
it's just unreal.
Well, we've suffered through so many 53-48 games this year. It was so much fun, like you said, to watch high-powered offense with guys not trying to always run sets, trying to get out in transition, throwing alley-oops, and when you've got, you know, three or four guys that can finish like they have, it is fun. And you just wonder how a team like that can compile that sort of talent and why teams at major universities with all the recruiting power in the world can't or don't.
Well, I don't know, but it's starting to look, except for all the dunks, they do dunk a lot, but it's sort of looking like how those European teams, Krzyzewski was able to mold the dream team the past two Olympics to win gold, but before that, how all those, you know, Spain and Greece and all them would give the Americans so much trouble, I mean, you know, and pass it with such teamwork. I mean, you kind of see the same thing with the way Florida Gulf Coast playing.
So you going to take them as your underdog?
Well, I think if things fell right, they could beat Florida. I thought Florida was great this weekend. But
do you feel required as a SEC fan to root for the SEC or no?
I mean, it's the last one left. I'm just kind of excited in the game.
I am too.
And then I love LaSalle and their gutsiness. They just wouldn't go away.
How about that? You've got Wichita State has made an upset to get here, and they're favored in their game in the Sweet 16.
And they're playing LaSalle.
Right.
So, and I think that's going to be a great, great football game. I mean, football. Okay. It's going to be a great football game.
Maybe it would be. Maybe it would be. One last thing. I said yesterday it would be an absolute failure and an unacceptable one at that if Arkansas doesn't make the NCAA tournament next year. Am I overstating my case, or is that fair?
I think that should the goal should not be to make the NIT.
Is it acceptable if they do? I mean, is it understandable? Can you say, okay, well, that's a step in the right direction. They didn't make the NIT last year. They made the NIT this year. For me, it's not. To me, it's an absolute failure if you don't make the NCAA next year.
I think I'd like to see the roster. If Powell and Young leave.
We're assuming that.
I think they're still going to be hard-pressed to just be in a – you know, automatically make it. I mean, they may be on the bubble, they may make it, but I don't see them winning, you know, more than 10 league games to impress anybody.
That's not enough, apparently.
But, you know, they're firing coaches to make the tournament now.
Yeah.
Hey, you make the tournament, you still get fired.
You make the tournament, you win a game, and you get fired. Or, if you're smart, you sign your deal the day before the tournament starts, and you get a 10-year extension, and then you lose the next day to Harvard, if you're Steve Alford.
Yeah, and I think Jamie Dixon has been knocked out early rounds, too. He got a 10-year extension this weekend.
We're in the wrong business, Jim.
Well, I bet they feel good about that 10-year extension after what happened with Ben Howland and Toby Smith.
No doubt. There's no question. Yeah, unreasonable expectations, I'm afraid.
We got a lot covered in 15 minutes.
There's no question. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Good hearing from you. And I will see you tomorrow one way or the other. Hopefully I see you in a couple different settings tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we will.
All right, good deal. Jim, appreciate it very much. And you can always follow Jim's work on SportingLifeArkansas.com. Coming up.